To God be the glory. Amen. Amen and amen. Our God is great. Amen.
Amen.
Aren't you glad He made heaven your home?
Come on.
And you've been walking that direction ever since He interrupted your life and put you on another course of living? It ain't good to be classified as being wrong or wicked. Amen. All right, let's look in these Proverbs where we have been digging around and mining these great nuggets of truth and gold and the glories that God would have for us. They give us such great clarity. I think the Proverbs even refer to them as being for the person who has wisdom and understanding. They are plain to them. They are clear to them. That those who have understanding, that wisdom and that knowledge, it rests in the heart of those who have understanding. So there's a lot we've been picking up on. There's a lot that we've been gleaning, some things that I've been just pondering in chapters 14 and 15 and 16, where we have been in the last couple days. And today's reading in chapter 16, there's a phrase in there that says in verse number 2, Proverbs 16:2 says, "All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit." And let's pray before we jump into these things and ask God to help us with them. Father, we come before You. We do humble ourselves in Your sight, knowing that we need Your help to understand. We need Your help to have clarity. We need Your help to simply be right with You. So thank You for Your grace. Thank You for teaching us. And I pray that You would continue to set us free from the lies that we have clung to and held on to, that we need to be freed of those so that we can walk safely with a satisfied heart and content spirit before You, that Lord, You will help us with these things. So we come before You today believing You're going to speak life into each of us, that these words are going to come the life to us, and that we're going to see You and we're going to see what You have for us. So we are at Your mercy, in need of You to do this for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, it's something that I have come to learn through the years, that unlearning things is more difficult than learning things in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Unlearning things that have been a pattern established in our journey, in our walk. Unlearning the false way. Unlearning things that have been planted in us by those that didn't have the understanding of God. It is more difficult to unlearn something in God's kingdom than it is to learn something from the Lord. And for an example, just this word right here that we've already read, I'll read it again, but Proverbs 16:2 says, "All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits." Now, this is actually ingrained, instilled in us in the fall. That when the Bible that we're looking at in Proverbs talks about several different groups of people, let's just talk about them. It talks about the wicked person.
Amen.
Says a lot about the wicked. And the reason it says a lot about the wicked, you got to keep in mind, that word is not for the wicked. That word is for the righteous. It's just helping us understand the difference between the righteous and the wicked. It's helping us discern the difference between the fool or acting foolishly and being wicked. It's helping us discern the difference between a fool and a scorner. It's been talking about scorning. People that are fool, that are wicked, but have gotten to the place where they mock and scorn and push back and fight against those who have attempted to give them good advice and instruction. So we've seen what the the wicked look like, what the fool looks like, what the sinner looks like. And a sinner is just someone who has a characteristic in their life. They miss the glory of God in everything they do. Yeah. That's the idea of a sinner. A sinner just misses the mark. What is the mark? The mark is perfection. And that perfection is giving glory to God. So the sinner that is simply that, that's what they are, a sinner, which would be somebody who is going to turn out from the perspective of also being wicked, who can be and often acts like and lives like the fool, who can be the scorner. The sinner just misses the mark with God. As the scriptures teach us in the New Testament and the older, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have what? Fallen short of the glory of God. So what makes the difference in the sinner and the righteous man's life is not the righteous man and it's not the sinner. It's what Jesus does in the life of the righteous man.
Come on.
That's what makes the difference between being somebody who never hits the mark and somebody who hits the mark because they trust Jesus with their life. And the mark was hit by Jesus, not us.
Amen.
So we entrust ourselves to Jesus. So we've been learning that as we've been walking through. So we see the wicked, we see the fool. And a fool is somebody who just believes their way is better than God's way. And there are times we as the righteous can act like a fool because we think our way is better. And as the righteous, because we're not righteous in and of ourselves. So we have to unlearn all those wicked, foolish ways that we used to operate in when we become righteous in Christ Jesus. And that's what His truth does for us. It sets us free from all that foolish, wicked, scornful ways that just miss the mark with God. So we're all in a process of growing. Amen. If you've been saved, that is, you've been bought by Jesus, been washed in His blood, you've been forgiven by His sacrifice, reconciled unto God. Now Christ lives in you, and because He lives in you, He wants to live out of you. And for that to happen, we have to continually grow. And as we grow, we are unlearning previous patterns in our life that was contrary to the things of God.
Amen.
That's what it means to be set free by Jesus. Remember when Jesus said that in John 8? If the Son make you free, you are what?
Free indeed.
Now the Son doesn't make us free to go live like we want. That's the attitude of a fool. That's the attitude of the wicked. That's the attitude of the sinner. Because remember, when Jesus spoke to those Jews that day, they said, hey, we've never been in bondage to anybody. And Jesus said, you've been in bondage to sin. You've missed the mark with God. They said, we're not sinners. That's not us. See, because a fool or the wicked person thinks their way is pure in their own eyes. They don't think they have done anything wrong. Even when they do wrong, then they justify their wrong with something else. And they blame it on somebody else. If I did wrong, I'd blame it on Brother Shannon. Well, they what made me do it. Or my parents did this to me. Or my teachers taught me this. And I'm blaming everybody else, but I never want to look within to realize that missing the mark has been the fact that I was born this away.
Amen.
And because I was born this away, I then chose to live this away. And that way has been contrary to the things of God from day one. But when Jesus interrupts a life, He sets that life free for what purpose? So that they now can be free from the bondage of this old world and their sins to what? Follow Jesus. And when we follow Jesus in that freedom, it's His truth that continually frees us from the lies and the deceptions and the falsehoods and the wrong way of thinking, that I can live rightly before God in this old world that I live in. And Proverbs is helping us see that the wicked don't get to that place.
Amen.
That the sinner doesn't get to that place where they surrender themselves to the will of God and the work of God. Do we still sin?
Amen.
Of course we do. We still miss the mark. But remember, repentance is part of the will of God, isn't it? That's part of bringing us back where we confess that. We don't try to cover it up. We don't try to fix it ourselves. What do? We cast it upon Jesus. Amen. We know. That's the thing. The believer knows that the only thing that can satisfy a holy God is the righteousness of God Himself, found in Himself when His Son came and lived and died and gave His life for us. That there's not one thing we can do to fix our problem. There's not one thing we can do to cover up our iniquities, our waywardness, our sins. There's not one thing we can do to hit that mark. We could just trust Him that what He says is the right way. What He's done is the right thing. And He believed in what He was doing, and I'm going to believe He believed what He did was for me and on my behalf, and God's made me righteous in Him. And now what He tells me, I could either be a fool and push back at it, or I can entrust myself to Him and walk with Him. Amen. See, but I'm constantly unlearning things. I think my mom and my dad loved me. They loved my brothers and taught us what they knew, but they didn't know Jesus when I was coming up. So everything they instilled in me, everything they did, it was pure in their own eyes. It was pure in my eyes. I believe they gave me the best that they possibly had with what they had, but what they had fell short of the glory of God. So then everything in my life fell short of the glory of God until Jesus compassionately and graciously came to me, rescued me in that position, called me with a unique holy calling, an eternal calling, a calling that's unlike any other calling, and called me out through the gospel to free me so that I can follow after Him. Amen. And praise be unto God. Amen. There's not one thing I could have bought, not one thing I could have gave, not one thing whatsoever. He sufficiently paid the price for what I could never do myself and satisfied a holy wrath of God and a holy righteousness of God all in one in His own Son, when He gave His life and His blood to rescue us from ourselves so we can follow after Him. And that's what I see more than anything is, look, these Proverbs are rescuing me from me. From all those things that I've learned and thought about and pondered and created for myself. That's what the truth does. It then begins to teach me God's way. But God teaching me is easier than me unlearning the past. Amen. I want you to think about that for a moment. Because see, all that, all the past, everything I learned then was all from a natural standpoint. Well, when it comes to walking with the Lord, now we're dealing with a supernatural element that God gets involved. And when God gets involved to open the eyes of a man, to open the heart of a person, to open the life, that is much easier than me dependently on myself, doing my own thing, going my own way, depending totally upon myself to get something done or to know something. It's easier for me to hear from God and walk with Him than it is to unlearn all that other stuff on my own. Amen. And Proverbs is helping me with that. Every way to a man is what? Pure in his own eyes. But the Lord sees what's behind it. He sees the spirit of it. He sees all that there is to it. Let me give you a couple passages of Scripture. Look over in 14. Look in 14. Chapter 14 and verse number 6. We see this idea of a scoffer. Remember, a scoffer is somebody who mocks. Somebody who scorns, they disdain, they push away, they don't like being instructed, they don't like being told that they're wrong, they don't like being advised, they only like that which appeals to them. And the Scripture says in verse 6, a scoffer seeks wisdom and he does not find it. Why does he not find it? because he doesn't go to the wise to find it. He don't like the wise. He stays away from the wise. I think it's what? 15:12. What does 15:12 say? A scoffer does not love one who what? Reproves or corrects him, nor will he go to who? So the scoffer wants wisdom, but they never find wisdom because they won't go to who? The wise. Why? They don't want anything to do with somebody telling them that they're not right and they're wrong. So they don't seek out the wise's advice and they never find it. They would like it. They want it. Go back to 14:6 again. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it. But notice this. But knowledge, that is, know anything, be able to recognize a thing, knowledge is easy to him who understands, who has understanding, who has discernment, who can piece something together. Knowledge is easy to him. Scripture says the way of a fool is hard, but in the path of righteousness there's life. You know, that tells me the way of the fool, living foolishly by myself, unlearning those things is a hard thing. But what? When you're right with God, being taught by God, knowledge comes easy to us. Amen. The way is easy for us. Not that we won't have conflict. Not that it's not going to be difficult and troublesome. Not that we're not going to face tests, because you're going to face tests in this. Well, why does God bring tests to us? To make us more like Jesus, right? Amen. And a sign of immaturity, I spent a good portion of my life from the perspective, especially while I was in school, I was just immature. Because an immature person just wants to have just enough to get through the test. They don't care about what they're learning. I just want enough to pass the test. I want the test to be done with. Are you with me? You been there, Greg? That's a sign of immaturity. But the mature student, the mature disciple, understands that I want to grow in the things, in the insight that I'm gleaning. I want to grow through the test. I know the test is just part of it to prove what I've learned or what I still need to learn. And the mature person sees the whole of the thing, that God can put me through test and I'm not in a hurry to get out of the test, because God's doing something in the test to make me more and more like Him. He's refining me. But an immature person says, man, I just can't wait to get out of this season. I can't wait to get out of this trial. I can't wait. No, none of us like the trials. Are you with me? And a lot of us didn't like going through the test, but it is a sign of either maturity or immaturity when I'm just ready to get through this rather than I want to grow in this. I want to see Jesus in this. I want to learn how to walk wisely with the Lord through this. I want to look more like Jesus, and it's in this test He's revealing areas to me that I don't look like Him. Are you with me? And I still got some areas what? To grow in. And that's a, Miss Pat, that's a maturing disciple who understands the key in all this is that I want to know Jesus. Amen. And I want to know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings at all costs. And I'm not just ready to get through this problem and it get behind me. No, I want to know the teacher. And I want to have that investment, involvement in my life. And that's why I can count it all joy, like James says, because He's teaching me something in this. He's revealing who I am, where I am. He's revealing Himself in this. And I want to grow and mature as I walk through this. And I'm not just trying to get through the test so that I can get past it. I think we've all been at times immature. And we've all shown some maturity at times. You see, don't try to push through the troubles God brings into your life. Let patience have its perfect work. Amen?
Amen.
God's at work building something in us, and we just want Him to work it out so that I can be more like my teacher. I can look more like Him. And the Scripture says that what? Knowledge is easy. Knowledge is easy to him who understands. Look over in 14:33. 14:33. Says, what does wisdom do? Wisdom is settled and secure and safe. It rests in the heart of him who has what? Now see, knowledge is easy for them that have understanding, and wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. You see, but what is in the heart of a fool is going to be made known. Why? Because a fool is going to spill whatever's in there. Whatever they're thinking, whatever they're feeling, they feel like they have the right to spew it out. And I tell you, they'll pour forth trouble and wrongness and lies and deception and their feelings and what they like and what they don't like, what they like about you, what they don't like about you, what they don't like about this person or that person. It's just going to flow out of them like a river. You see, but a person who has understanding, what's within them, that wise counsel of God rests in them. There's nothing in them that gets disturbed where they just got to blow up and get it all out. They settle. They're at peace. That's the idea, is that wisdom is at peace. It's at rest within the heart of them that understand. Now, you see what I'm saying? When it comes to unlearning things, this old world we live in will tell you need to be, speak your mind. Don't let nobody take advantage of you. Somebody comes at you, tell them what you think. Well, everything we're learning about the Lord is telling us totally different, isn't it? Amen. Teaching us totally contrary to that. So learning God's way is easier, actually, than unlearning what we've been taught by this old world and those around us that live and think and act like fools. That's more difficult not to learn. Why? Because we got a dynamic of our flesh, and our flesh ain't going to please God. Our flesh is not going to do the things of God. Our flesh wants to be given attention to, and it wants to be coddled, and it wants to be comforted, and it's going to explode. That's part of the outburst of wrath, is what? A work of the flesh. That's the flesh at work. And those things are what wants to get out of us a lot of time. Amen. But see, I got to take those things captive, give it over to the Lord, and let his wisdom rest safely within me. Amen?
Amen.
So in thinking on those, look over in 16. Look in 16. Look in verse number 22. 16:22. Understanding is what? A wellspring of life to him who has it. Knowledge is easy. Wisdom rests, and understanding is a wellspring, springs of grace, springs of life that well up into the in and out of the heart of those who have it. But the correction of fools is folly. Amen. There's a world of difference, Janet, between a fool and a person of understanding. There's a world of difference between a scorner and somebody who's wise. There's a world of difference between somebody who's righteous and somebody who's wicked. And that's something that we need to be paying close attention to as we walk through these Proverbs, because it's helping us, what? Discern what's coming toward us and what's welling up within us. You see, if what's welling up within me is not manifesting what God says is what? Righteous and just and understanding and wise, I need to what? I need to be rescued from me. I need God to do something with me. And when I discern in people that I'm around, for an example, go back to chapter 14 again. Look what he says in verse 7. We read verse 6. Verse 7 of 14 says, go from the presence of a foolish man. Go. Get away from him. When you do not perceive, recognize in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. So, man, Keith, this is. How many of you ever been in the presence of a fool? Have you ever listened to foolish people talk? Proverbs teaches us what? To go from, to not let that way of thinking, not let that deceit influence us. Now, see, we still got a fleshly element that's attracted to that. So we've got to deal, we've got to fight with that. That's a battle. Unlearning those things is a fight. So I have to recognize, okay, I'm not picking up God here. Now, that doesn't mean we lead that person to where they are. We see a person who still needs Jesus, right? Yeah. We see somebody that has a need. Yeah. Well, I, as an ambassador, as a faithful witness, God set me apart to what? Deliver, to be a deliverer. For an example, look in 14:25. An authentic, true witness delivers what? Deliver souls. Aren't we in the deliverance business? Aren't we following a deliverer? Isn't that deliverer setting us free so that we can be a deliverer of souls? But a deceitful witness speaks lies. Now, that doesn't mean, Karen, they're not speaking facts. The facts they speaking can be real, but still be a lie. See, everything the fool speaks, even though he speaks facts, and what's real, and what's going on, it's still deceptive. It's still a lie, even though it's real. If God ain't in it, grace ain't in it, it could be real as your next breath, but it's still filled with lies and deception. Amen. And Proverbs is a tool that helps us recognize that. And that's where wisdom rests. That's why knowledge is easy. That's why understanding is a wellspring of life to them that have it, and to recognize that folly from the fool. For an example, watch this. Now, we're going to do this real quick before we go, and we'll come back tonight and pick up on a couple of these things. Chapter 15 gives us some insight on how important it is to be number one thing, right with God. Because if we're not right with God, everything that comes out of our life is detestable to the Lord. Notice verse number 8, 15, 8 and 9. Verse 15, 8 says, the sacrifice of the wicked is a, what is it? It's an abomination to the Lord. The word abomination means to be detested, something that is hated by God. So when a wicked person, remember, what is a wicked person? It's somebody that is simply wrong. And why are they wrong? Why is the wicked person wrong? Because they're not right with who? They're simply not right with God. So when a man is not right with God, no matter what that man brings as a sacrifice to God, because obviously this wicked person still believes they need to bring a sacrifice. So we're not talking about somebody who doesn't think that there is not a God. We're not talking about somebody who doesn't think they need to bring something to God, because we're talking about a wrong person bringing a right sacrifice is still wrong. You could bring the right thing, but because God doesn't accept you, what you give to him is wrong. Nothing we do when we're not right with God is acceptable to God. I've got to be right with him, Lucas, me. And when I'm right with him, you know what? What I offer to him is right. Yeah. But if I'm not right, even the right offering becomes a problem. Amen. So, not only that, but look at this. Verse 8 says, but the prayer of the upright is his. So, even our prayers, Sandy, even our prayers, boo. Prayers of a sacrifice, bringing them before God, if I'm not right, they're an abomination unto the Lord. Amen. So if my praying ain't right, it's because I ain't right. Look in verse 9. The way of the wicked is what? An abomination to who? The way of the wicked. The way of the wicked means the life of the wicked. The way the wicked works. The wrong man works. What is it unto the Lord? God sees it as rubbish. What is rubbish? Dung. Waste. Useless. So just because somebody prays and they pray to God doesn't mean those prayers are accepted by God. What has to be right in those prayers? The person. The individual has to be right. I've got to be right. Amen. He doesn't stop there. Look what he says in verse number 26. 15:26. Not just their sacrifices, not just their prayers, but what? The thoughts of the man wrong and not right with God, they are what? An abomination to the Lord. You see, so now we get into the root of where the issue's at, is that remember, as a man thinks, so is he. So because his thoughts are not right, everything he does, his way's not right. Then there his prayers are not right, and his offerings are not right. Even though he is praying to the right one, even though he's bringing the right kind of prayers, even though he's saying the right kind of things, if they are not right, nothing they do is right. Look in 29. And this is the reason behind it. The Lord is what? Far from the wicked. But he hears the prayer of the righteous. Amen. And what separates the righteous and the wicked? Jesus. It's Jesus. It's just being rightly connected to the Lord. It's what he's done for us. So now we understand when he says, look, if you don't perceive the words of knowledge in a person, slip away from them. Why? Because that person ain't what? Right with God. And whatever they tell you is coming from thoughts that are wrong. Coming from prayers that are wrong. It's coming from a life, a way that is wrong. And they are rubbish. They are an abomination unto the Lord. Now, if they live an entire life that way, from that perspective, then they die in that condition, we know they live separated in life, and then in the afterlife they'll die separated from the Lord and go to hell. But if God interrupts the man and makes him right with himself, then he frees them through the unlearning of what he used to do that was not right. Now Jesus is going to make it right because he's going to start establishing the thinking of that man. Amen. Isn't that what 16:3 said? Commit your works unto the Lord, and he shall what? He shall what? What 16:3 say? Commit your works unto the Lord, and he shall establish your. Commit your works unto the Lord, and he shall establish your thoughts. But you see, a wicked man won't commit his works unto the Lord. Why? Because he's not right with the Lord. But a man, Rusty, that's right with the Lord now sees that he has solutions for life by committing himself to the Lord. Boy, and what a difference he makes. Amen? Amen. What a difference he makes. How many of y'all believe right now that all the things we've learned in the past is really not our biggest problem? Our problem is going to go back to we had a commitment problem. We just didn't commit ourselves to the Lord. Because if we committed ourselves to the Lord would establish our what? Our thoughts. And then our prayers would be a delight to the Lord. Amen. They'd be acceptable to God. But boy, what a difference it makes when a man's right with God. And if there's anything in here today, if there's anything that we could ever say to anybody, it would be this. Ensure that you're right with Jesus.
Amen.
Just get right with Him. Because if you ain't right with Him, ain't nothing going to be right. No matter how it seems. How it seems. Didn't 1625 say that? There's a way that seems right to a man, but it's the way thereof that leads to what? Death. It seems right. You can't settle on what seems right. You got to know what's right. Amen. You got to know that you're right. Because your heart, my heart, our hearts are deceived this morning. We think our way's pure. I need to have God's thoughts so that I know I'm right with Him. Amen? Amen. So if you're not right with Him, today would be the best day ever to get right with Him. To trust Him. Commit yourself to Him. Get right with Him. Get right with Him. He'll make everything else in due time right in your life as well. Amen. Just get right with Him. Father, we thank You. We bless You. Help us, Lord, commit these things to You. We want to roll it upon You. We want to surrender it to You. I know personally what You'll do in a man's life when they commit and roll their works upon You. So, Lord, I pray that You would speak into Your people, to me, even this day, that I can see, that I can know that there's a wellspring of understanding flowing in and out of me, that wisdom rests and settled and secure within me, that knowledge of You and Your ways is easy for me. It's plain and clear to see. Help me, Lord. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with us today? What are we going to sing, brother? 591. 591. He's a great God. Well, we sure love y'all. Love walking through this world with you. Amen.
Amen.
To Him be the glory. Him be the glory. All right. Brother Shannon, won't you close us with a word of prayer today? What time are we gathering back?
5 o'clock.
Sounds good.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. It's a pleasant day, and we know it's the day that You've made.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we have so many friends and loved ones that are need Your touch of healing.
Mm.
But Lord, we ask You to search their hearts and help them find righteousness.
Mm.
Lord, let our minds open up and our hearts be filled with Your word as we go through Proverbs so that we can teach others.
Mm-hmm.
In Thy name, amen.
Amen. Love y'all. Y'all have a good day.